Can you talk a little bit about sort of digital filmmaking versus Super 8? I mean, I can imagine that the easiest way to make a film would probably be using digital equipment, right? But I'm sort of assuming that your motivation for focusing on Super 8 is that it breaks through some compulsions that would be sort of easy to hard to control if you were, if you had all the freedom of, you know, editing, reshooting, and all of that.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, they're in a lot of ways two very different worlds. You know, I think, I mean, I shoot a lot of digital video. I shoot on tons of formats. You know, I think it there's kind of like a time and place for all of them. You know, I think with digital video, you can really run into issues of overshooting and shooting hours and hours and hours of footage, which you're like, man, I've got this covered. This is awesome. And then you're never thinking about who's going to edit this. You know, I've got 8 hours of footage, so I'm going to have to look at all 8 hours. And I might finish this in a couple of years. And, you know, if you have an editor, that's great. Again, it's very kind of project dependent. I think if you're really determined to do a short film or a feature film that has really sync sound and it's a limited budget, then you probably would want to shoot on digital video. You know, I finished a short film not long ago that part of it, I realized for what I wanted to do, that'd be the best format to shoot on. You know, it just kind of, it depends on your vibe. You know, I think it's important for, and it depends on your idea and your goal for it. But I think in the end that learning about shooting on Super 8 is really, there's a lot of education there, I think, and there, it's a never-ending process of learning. I'm still learning about it too, and that's why I get a lot of enjoyment out of doing the Attack of the 50-Foot Reels, is that I'm constantly inspired by, you know, these films, just because you realize, you know, how in so many ways it comes down to the idea, and that these filmmakers have great stories that they're telling, and that it's just really inspiring in that way for me. I know this is a long, convoluted answer, but you know, I just think people can get a lot of education out of shooting on Super 8, and a lot of appreciation for the kind of value of film, because when you're shooting Super 8, it is costing you money. You know, it is you got to buy the film, you know, you're going to have to get it processed. Odds are you're going to have to transfer it to video. So you're thinking, okay, this is a lot of money here. And I think with that, based on, you know, just the monetary factor, you're going to think about it that much more. Okay, what am I going to do? I've got to really be solid in my idea, be solid with my story. And I think that's where a lot of filmmakers that start off in video, which is most filmmakers nowadays, you don't treat video with that kind of value that you do with film. And so you might load your camera up and just go out and shoot and not think about it as much. And I think, you know, some people do, certainly. But I think that's one aspect that shooting on film, whether it's Super 8 or 16, can really kind of almost force you to really think about what you're doing. You know, and realize that your shooting ratio, if you can whittle down your shooting ratio, obviously these are 1-to-1, but if you can make it more like 3-to-1 or 5-to-1, that's a really great thing. With video, odds are you're probably shooting 20-to-1 or 100-to-1, you know, and yeah, it's a different world. Yeah. So I don't know if that's the answer you're looking for, but it's, you know, I think it's important. I by no means am saying like Super 8 or nothing, you know. It's I enjoy for people, or I really kind of aspire for people to learn about Super 8 and experiment with it, you know, because it's again, I think you can learn a lot from that experience. Part of it might be frustration, you know. There's certainly one of the filmmakers in Sheffield was really frustrated because this film was, you know, well exposed, but then there was like, you know, 60% of it that was out of focus and dark, and he was like, no, it was awful. But I think it's a learning process, and you know, I thought it was a great film, you know. And again, I think it's kind of challenging that whole thing that people have kind of fallen into of it's got to be perfect or I don't want to see it. You know, I think, you know, there's something beautiful about the imperfections that kind of come naturally to Super 8 in a weird way. But also, with that, I think I really encourage people to investigate sound and how sound can really make or break a film. That you can, I always say this in my workshops, that, you know, you can have the most pristine and beautiful and perfectly focused and framed 35 millimeter footage, but if the sound is terrible, people aren't going to watch it. They're just going to turn the channel or walk out of the room if the sound's bad. But you can have the most out of focus and trashy looking shot, whether it's 35 or Super 8 or pixel vision. But if it's got amazing and interesting and compelling sound, people are gonna stick with it. And I think that's, if you're ever on the verge of making a film, whether it's a feature or a short film, and you know, you're weighing the options of like, okay, I could hire a camera person or I could hire a sound person. Hire the sound person, because that's gonna make or break your film. To me, that's my opinion. But in the end, you know, again, you might have the perfect shot, but the sound's terrible. You won't be able to use it. Have an okay shot, the sound's good, you can use it. So, yeah.
Good philosophy. Okay, last question before the break. Yeah.
Well, yeah, they're. Oh, I would love to buy one if I had the money, you know. But I think if you're going to spend $5,000 on a camera, you might as well buy a 16 millimeter camera. What they're really, they're doing great things as far as offering all these different 35 millimeter stocks in Super 8. Pretty much any 35 millimeter stock that's out there now, Pro 8 is cutting down into Super 8. What they're doing with these cameras, they're really kind of geared towards commercial directors and some commercial DPs that are, you know, want to just kind of have the flashiness and cool factor in front of the ad agency of like, yeah, let me get a shot of this on my Super 8 camera. You know, that's what it is. And they're charging, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 for a camera, you know. Yeah, I think for them it's more of like, you know, profit margins and stuff. They're really kind of aiming towards the kind of higher end Los Angeles commercial and feature film market. But there's certainly like Yale Lab, who I do a lot of work with. They're more kind of for the student filmmaker and doing stuff that's, you know, they'll work with you on whatever budget you have. So there's still some very dedicated labs and technicians out there for Super 8, yeah. Have you ever bought anything from Pro 8 or dealt with them?
Well, I don't have that sort of money.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad they're supporting it, but they're obviously doing the high-end stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
So they've been supported
to that level. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is interesting. You know, if you had it in your mind to do a feature film on Super 8, then
you want a working camera.
Yeah, I know.
You have to have.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Now the Super 8 negative stock is really incredible. I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what they're doing is they're slitting the film and perforating it so that they kind of load their own cartridges with. It starts off as 35 millimeter film, but they're slitting it down to make it, yeah, to make it. No, it's still the same film stock. Yeah, they're just loading these Super 8 cartridges with this film that started off as 35. Yeah, so it's quite a process, you know, but yeah. Well, you're getting the benefit of the different ASAs, you know, so the film speeds that 35 offers. And so that's the main thing. It still looks like Super 8 because it's still tiny. So by the time you blow it up to that size, you're going to see the grain, you know, even though it started off as a 35 stock. so much of that is dependent, you know, it's always a combination of variables, you know, your exposure, the film speed, but also your camera, you know, with the right lens on a Super 8 camera, I mean, it can just be that much more crisp. So, yeah, there's lots of little variables with Super 8 and those film stocks, yeah. But Kodak is actually offering, and this isn't Pro 8, this is Kodak, are offering Super 8 negative that's 200 and 500 ASA. So, oddly enough, there's more Super 8 stocks available today than there ever have been. You know, even though the cameras really haven't been made for, you know, since 1982, you know, so that's pretty remarkable. You know, it is the little format that could, you know, I mean, standard 8's still around too, and even rumors of 9.5 millimeter, I guess, is still around. But, you know, just the idea that VHS has come and gone, you know, that digital 8 has come and gone, and, you know, soon DVDs, you won't even have DVD players, you know, but Super 8, I think Super 8's going to be around for a really long time. So
I mean, the day they stop film, I think it would be the end of Super 8, so as long as they make 35, I would say Super 8 is still going on.
Absolutely, yeah, and I think that's going to go for a long time too, because you still have this industry, you know, mainly I'm thinking about Hollywood, that is very film based. I mean, you do have more and more productions that are shooting digitally, but there's still tons and tons of cinematographers that will only shoot on film. So, and then of course you have commercials. I mean, there's always the argument that for film, you've always got the film to rescan for the next format that's going to come out, when, you know, whether it's HD or beyond. So, yeah, I think film is going to be around for, yeah, at least another 100 years. You know, yeah.
You're optimistic.
Seriously, I mean, you know, it's incredible if you think about it. It's been around almost 100 years already. You know, and just to think, like, technology wise, where video is, there's nothing. You know, it's a very dependable and almost future proof kind of technology. You know, that when it's stored correctly, you're always going to have that film print, you know. And who knows, I think about so many of my films that I get transferred and I've got on my hard drive. Like, how am I going to use that hard drive in 10 years, you know? I think about, like, floppy disks I have. Like, I don't even know what's on those floppy disks now, you know. And so it's pretty incredible. I do think film is going to be around a long time, and, you know, yeah. Thanks to good people like you.
We try our best.